200 acres. We just saw that my dad, he's the, he's from a district in Oklahoma, number 48. This, my home, so we just didn't look into it. Hosanna.
Let's pray. Our most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we come to you this evening thankful for the day that you've given to us. We're thankful, Father, for this time we've been able to gather together to study your word, to take the truths that James is teaching to us, Father, and to apply them to our lives that we can spread those things to those that we come in contact with. Our Heavenly Father, we're mindful this evening of those that are traveling away from us. We pray, Father, that you would be with them, that you would keep them safe in their travels. We pray, Father, for those that are sick, especially those that are on the minds of the members here. We pray that your hand will be upon them, Father. We ask that if it be your will, that you'll return them to their much-wanted health. Heavenly Father, we're so mindful of those that preach and teach your word around the world. We're thankful for Randy, for his efforts here, preaching in this place. And we pray, Father, that you would continue to be with him. We ask that you give him a ready remembrance of those things he's prepared this evening to bring to us, that we can take that invitation, Father, and to those who have not come to obedience to your will. And Father, we're mindful of those that preach and teach in very difficult situations. Father, we pray that you would grant them courage to continue to do so. Grant us, Father, the ability to be an encouragement to them, Father, as opportunities come to us. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would be with the elders of this congregation, that you would grant them wisdom to lead this group of Christians here in a way that's pleasing and acceptable before you. Heavenly Father, as we continue through this time of worship to you, Father, may the things we do, may they be done in truth and in spirit. Father, above all, we're so thankful for your Son that gave his life on that cross for us, that we can come before you, Father. We can bring our prayers, our supplications to you, and we can have full faith, Father, that you will hear those things and that you and that you will do for us, Father, what is according to your will. Father, we pray that you would guide us through the remainder of our lives. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Okay. you would open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. Last time I was in Memphis, I was with a couple of co-workers, and one of the things that was being talked about was how often they had gone to see a particular, you know, potential customer over the years, and nothing had ever happened. And finally, the guy said, "Well, you have been calling on me for so many years. Maybe it's time for me to do something." So they were relating that story, and I said, "You know, there's a parable about that. It's one of Jesus's lesser known parables." So I told them about it real quick, and they just kind of looked at me funny, but there, and this was these were the people that gave me COVID last time I was there, but still nice folks. They didn't do it on purpose. But in Luke chapter 18, you know, this is always, I'll say it's kind of been a peculiar one to me as far as the parables go, because it's not one that we really think about a whole lot. We always, you know, think about the lost sheep and the lost coin and the prodigal son, of course, and the ones that are at, you know, the Pharisee and the tax collector and those kind of things. But this is one that is here, and it has a point to it too. And I want to make a few points about it tonight. Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. "And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not to lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, 'Give me justice against my adversary.' For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, 'Though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming.' And the Lord said, 'Hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?'" And so this is really showing the value of persistence. And have always thought that this was an interesting parable because of the character of the judge. Because the judge here does not really have any redeemable qualities. And so, obviously, when we're thinking about prayer and who we pray to, you know, we're thinking about a just and righteous God. But Jesus is describing one here who neither fears God nor has any care for man either. And so that's just about as bad as you can be. And so, you know, sometimes this parable is also known as the unjust judge. Yeah, I think about it as the persistent widow, but sometimes you can look at it that way too. But you see the distress of the widow. She is said to have some kind of adversary that has wronged her, and she is seeking the aid of the judge to avenge her. And the judge would not help her at first, and there's these repeated attempts that seem to fall on deaf ears. But at last the judge hears her complaint. I'll tell you another quick work story that I think is relevant to this that happened recently, and this actually was a big church that has a lot of printing equipment, and they had a receptionist there that folded 2,000 bulletins every week, you know, trifold things, and been doing it for years. Well, that's a lot of, you know, work by hand, and they called us. They wanted to know, "Do you have anything that will fold these things for us?" Because they're creased and they fold really easily. And I'm thinking, you're a huge church and you ought to have somebody there that wouldn't mind folding these things, because there is no way that you are going to want to pay what it cost to get something that is going to do this, because I knew what it cost to get that piece of equipment. Nevertheless, they were told what it would cost, and it was in the upper five figures. And so we presented it to them, and they bought it. Because what was happening was the woman that retired, all the people that were taking her place were complaining constantly. Constantly complaining about having to do this folding. And he said, it is worth every penny to me not to have to hear them complain about this anymore. And so I think about this parable. You know, here is the unjust judge that does not, he has no affinity for this woman. He does not fear God, but she's really grating on my nerves. And so she keeps asking, and so I'm going to listen to her. And so you see how different this parable is with these characters here, because I don't really have a whole lot of respect for either one of them right now, because he doesn't want to listen, and she's kind of getting on my nerves. I can imagine how annoying that would be. But what she has done here is that at last the judge heeds her complaint. And so here is what it says about the unjust judge. He was moved by the persistence of the widow, even when he was not moved by his reverence for God or his care for his fellow man. And so here Jesus has given us a couple of characters that we may or may not have any emotional attachment to right now, but that's not the point. The point here is that if this man who is so unjust will hear the persistent request of this woman, will not God, who does love us, hear the persistent request from those that love him? And so that is the point that Jesus is making here. Jesus, shall not God avenge his own elect? If an unjust judge will hear this persistent widow, how much more will a just God hear his chosen people? And so that's the point that is being made here. And so that I think that was the thing that was kind of confusing to me growing up, is that, you know, this, because normally when you see the picture of somebody in authority that represents God in these parables, there's some kind of good quality to it. There's not any good quality to this one, except that he did give in. And so the application here is that God is so much better than this. God is so much better than this. And so you compare side by side. I wish I had this up on the screen, but when you look at the widow, who is she to the judge? Nobody. She's a stranger. But who are we to God? Peter calls us the elect. You know, so we are his people. She is only one, and we are many. And you know, she's at a distance, you know, coming to him. And but we can, Hebrews 4 says that we can come boldly before the throne of grace. And that he is an unjust judge, but God is a righteous father who is always going to do what's right. And you know, she is really on her own here, but we're not on our own. We've got God on our side. She's having to plead her own case, but who pleads our case? We have an advocate, right? We have Jesus Christ. And she has no promise of an answer. But we do, because God has promised an answer for those who reach out to him. And so this judge also, what was his reaction to being asked over and over? He was provoked. Do you get the indication that God is that way with us? No, God delights in us asking him. He wants us to come to him. And that's what Jesus says here, that I tell you this parable in effect, that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. So if persistence paid off for this widow with this unjust judge, how much more for God's elect who pray? And so That's a big example for us that God will hear the prayers of His people, and He has been long-suffering to us, and we need to take advantage of the gift that He has given to us, and be persistent in our prayer, and be thankful that we do have a just judge. We're not going to somebody that's against us. We're not pestering God to death. When we are going to Him in prayer, the Lord's concern over this is really what prompts this parable. He wants His people not to lose heart. He wants them to pray. And so this is something that is a good reminder for us, as Paul said in 1 Thessalonians, to pray without ceasing. This is a great example of that very thing. And so I hope this will encourage us not to lose heart and not stop praying and always be reaching out to God every day. If we can help you in any way this evening, please come while we stand and sing.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before You now very thankful for this beautiful day that You've given us and the safety that You've granted every one of us to go about our days and to come here tonight to study another portion of Your Word and hear another lesson from Your Word and sing songs of praises to You. And we pray that all of this has been pleasing in Your sight. We pray for those of our number who are traveling or visiting away, those who aren't able to be here for other reasons, whether it's sickness, physical or spiritual. We pray that You be with them and allow them to come back and be with us. And please help us as followers of you to look for any opportunity we can to remove hindrances from people to guide them on your path. We pray that as we leave this place of comfort, that we continue to shine your light through us, no matter what situation or who we may come in contact with. We pray that we always look to your word for what is truth and how to live our lives justly and rightly every day. And we pray all this through your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.